Shavua Tov, everybody. Chodesh Tov, I haven't seen since Thursday. Okay, we're Rabbi Liebtag, we're killing two birds with one stone. He's continuing his series on the chronology in the Torah, but of course it's part of our Pesach series because we'll be talking today about when the command to give it matzah. So it's a pleasure to welcome to all the series you do, always kicking off the week. Vakasha, Rabbi Liebtag.
Okay, thank you. And if I remember correctly, when you were giving a list of the classes, you mentioned Rabbi Liebtag will be talking about when the commandment of matzah was given. If I'm not mistaken, you said, well, for sure it was given before we left Egypt. It's the Parsha HaChodesh. Didn't you say that?
So it is given, right? It's written in Parsha HaChodesh, yeah.
So why do you think that's so simple?
It's not simple at all. That's the whole problem. The whole problem is the Torah told us, first of all, what do you mean they left in a hurry? They had 2 weeks notice, but even more, okay, that you can answer. But they knew they had the command to mention for 7 days is given well before they left Egypt. So the whole thing, right, of course, it changes our whole understanding of Tzimin Tzarim. That's why I spoke about a Mashir yesterday. Okay. So let's see if we say the same things.
Okay, so there's a difference between when the commandment was given and when the commandment was given to. Because the commandment of giving matzah to the Jewish people wasn't given to after they left Egypt. That's in chapter, I'm going to show you in a minute. But the commandment to Moshe was given in Parsha HaChodesh. The commandment to the people wasn't given until after we left Egypt. And that's what we're going to talk about. So let me just share my screen now and we'll get started. And hopefully this week will be less confusing than last week. But we'll give it a try. Okay, so it's class number 7 in our general series, but our first class in our 2 classes on Pesach. And our title sounds like a simple question, because everyone knows, before we left Egypt, in Parshat HaChodesh, we get 2 weeks before we leave Egypt, we're commanded to bring the Pesach, and we eat it with matzah and maror. So the commandment to eat matzah, for sure was given before we left Egypt, and we need to bake it when we eat it with the Pesach. Which means that the reason we're eating matzah with Pesach, with the Zevach Pesach, has nothing to do with leaving Egypt in a rush. But in our Seder, we're going to say, when we point to the matzah and say, why are we eating matzah? We say, because we are rushed out of Egypt. So that's a different reason. The first commandment to eat matzah had nothing to do with being in a rush leaving Egypt. It was simply eating matzah with the Pesach. There's another commandment given also in Parshat HaChodesh to Moshe Rabbeinu, please. Keep matzah for 7 days in the spring when you come to Israel. But that, the reason for that seems to be because we were rushed leaving Egypt. It doesn't make any sense to give that commandment before we leave Egypt. And Am Yisrael only receives it after we leave Egypt. We have to see what's that commandment doing in Parshat HaChodesh.
Rabbi, your sound is a little bit unclear.
Because
it was better before.
I'm going to switch something. I'm going to try my headphones and tell me if this is a little bit better. I'm going to try 2 different options. Mute microphone. Tell me, is this one any better? Testing one.
Yes. Way better.
Yes.
Better? Oh, so that's my camera one. Okay. If this doesn't go bad, let me know, but we'll try this one now. Better?
Better.
But keep me up to date, because I keep on switching.
Don't switch. Like the same
no,
way.
No, that one's bad. I can't figure out which one.
Yeah, yeah.
The computer has a mind of its own. Okay, I guess that's what the chat was. The 4 chats were
about. Yeah. That's what the chats were about.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Okay, so let's get started again. It was confusing without being chopped. Maybe we should just, I won't restart the tape, but we'll start again. Okay, let me explain. I'm going to actually share a different screen here. I'm going to share my screen and share the psukim in Sefer. Oh, I don't want this. Do I want this? Yeah. I want to share the psukim in Sefer Shmot. We don't want this one. We want this one. No, I want Sefer Shmot. I don't know what happened to it. Okay. Let's take a look in Sefer Shmot from Perek Yud Bet. This, look at Chumash and look at the Parshiot. If you have a regular Koran Chumash, even better. The first 20 psukim in Shmot Perek Bet, from Aleph to Chaf, is we call Parshat HaChodesh. We read it a week ago on Shabbat. What's in Parshat HaChodesh? The first 2 psukim is Rosh Chodesh. From Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Yud Gimel
It's called Pesach Mitzrayim. I'm purposely not calling it Korban Pesach, even though I keep on trying to say that, but I shouldn't, because it is not a Korban. The word Korban doesn't come up in Chumash until Sefer Vayikra. We have an Olam, things like that. This is a family cookout. That should be crystal clear. There's nothing going here to God. There's no altar. People want to say our house is like an altar because we sprinkle the blood on the house. But the main thing that's happening in the Pesach in Egypt is a family sit-down meal. And when you sit down to food and you have special food, it sparks a conversation. We'll talk about that soon. After we have the commandments, 2 weeks before we leave Egypt, to have a family meal that is going to save us from the plague of the firstborn, we have a transition line, which is really confusing. Listen to your Dalet. This day should be a day to remember and celebrate it for God every generation forever and ever. Okay? That's the commandment for all generations. Now, is that referring backwards to the Pesach, just like you did Pesach in Egypt? Do a Zebach Pesach every year forever on the 14th going into the 15th? Got it? Or is this an introduction to the next law of verses 15 through 20 of Chag HaMatzot? I'm going to explain that again because it's really confusing. The first 13 psukim talk about what's called Pesach Mitzrayim, a one-time thing to save us from Makat Bechorot, sprinkling the blood on the doors, etc. Then it says, this day, what day? Maybe Rosh Chodesh, maybe the 14th, maybe the 15th, we don't know. But we have to celebrate it every year now on a regular basis. Keep that in mind. And then we talk about another commandment, to eat matzah for 7 days, right, in the spring. And we give very specific dates on the 14th in the evening to the 21st in the evening. We'll read the psukim later on. But what's really confusing here is the reason given why we eat matzah, ushmartem et matzot, in the future when we eat seven days every year in the spring. I'm going to show this psukim bigger in a minute. I took you out of Egypt. It sounds like past tense. We're going to return to all these things. I'm just giving a quick introduction. But the main thing is, in Parshat HaChodesh, I have three sections. Pesach Mitzrayim, one-time thing. Something for all generations, unclear what. Possibly Pesach, possibly Chag HaMatzot. And then a commandment for 7 days in the spring, every year, keep matzah, without an explicit reason why. Other than saying, because God took you out of Egypt. Which is very strange to say 2 weeks before we left Egypt. Now, in the next 7-8 psukim, Moshe calls Israel together and tells him to bring Pesach in Egypt, like I told him to, with more specific details. And he also gives him laws about Pesach Dorot, about Pesach for future generations. Understand? Verses 21 through 28 will talk only about Pesach, not Chag HaMatzot, not eating matzah, but rather the Pesach sacrifice, the Pesach gathering that we do in Egypt and we're supposed to do when we get to the land of Israel every year. So our kids will ask questions and we tell them about how God saved us from Makat Bechorot. Nothing about eating matzah. Right? Then we have the story of the Exodus through verse 42. And we leave Egypt and we're out of Egypt. We're rushed out of Egypt, etc. And then we have another law about Pesach, which is really strange at the end. We got that Zot Chukata Pesach, that a non-Jew can't eat it, and a ger, if he wants to convert, he can't eat it. We had a whole series on that section. And then, after we're out of Egypt, in chapter 13, what happens? God tells Moshe, command the people about the firstborn. But before Moshe tells the people about the firstborn, Moshe tells the people about Chag HaMatzot in the spring for 7 days. In other words, the commandment that God gave Moshe in Parshat HaChodesh, 2 weeks before we left Egypt, even though Moshe receives in Parshat HaChodesh, Moshe only tells it to the people after we leave Egypt, for a very good reason, because we eat matzah to remember how God rushed us out of Egypt. So how can I command you to eat matzah to remember how we rushed out of Egypt before we left Egypt? The question isn't why Moshe waits till here to tell them. The question is, why does God tell Moshe earlier? Or possibly, God told Moshe later also, and maybe Chumash is out of order. And that's our topic. You follow? Because Chumash so many times is out of chronological order, this may be one of the first times that's really out of chronological order. And then I have to ask myself, why is God's commandment to eat matzah for 7 days in the spring attached to the commandment to bring Pesach from Makat Bechorot, even though the commandment itself was only given to Moshe and given to Am Yisrael later, only after we left Egypt? That's what we have to try and solve today. Then we have law about Kushat Bechor, Moshe tells them, and then we're traveling, and then we have splitting of the sea. That was my introduction. And again, I know it's confusing. I just want to summarize it one more time to make sure it's clear. The biggest confusing thing is that we're so used to the commandment to eat matzah, and matzah, we almost all assume, is reminding us of the experience of leaving Egypt, because we were rushed leaving Egypt, and we didn't have time for our dough to break, to rise. That commandment to eat matzah, to remember how we left Egypt, only makes sense after we leave Egypt, because we were rushed almost in an incidental way. The plan wasn't to be rushed. It just so happened that way, as we'll read in Chumash in a minute. On the other hand, there was a different commandment to eat matzah with the Pesach that has nothing to do with being rushed out of Egypt. It's a din and korbanot like we had in this week's Parsha. That when you bring a korban, you can't have chametz, you can only have matzah. So in today's share, we want to make sense out of the whole thing. First to understand the problem, and then to try to understand the different answers. Okay, now we're going to get to work. And everything I just did, I'm going to review slowly now. I'll try my best. Okay, sound is okay now, Rabbi? Okay, we're good. So let's close my chat. Okay, I got the chat there. And now we're going to go to our source sheet and get to work. Okay, here's our little introduction I wrote. We wrote our introduction and put your pictures on the side. Okay, remember, the commandment to eat matzah was given 2 weeks before, but Moshe only tells him 2 weeks after. Okay, so what's going on now? And if eating matzah is supposed to remind us that we left Egypt in a rush, why is God giving the command before we leave Egypt? And then the bigger question, hopefully if we don't get to it today, we'll get to it tomorrow, next week. 7 times at least in Chumash it says eat matzah for 7 days. And for some crazy reason, in almost every halachic source will tell you, there's no commandment to eat matzah for 7 days. It's the strangest thing. Now, the rabbis are sure that there isn't one. So some people say there's a mitzvah, a kiyum maaseh maybe. But it's almost like saying, Chumash doesn't want you to work 6 days a week. In the Ten Commandments, it says work 6 days a week. And no one holds that there's a kiyum to work 6 days a week. At least not in the religious world. So how could that be? There's a reason I'm giving that example. But again, I'm pretty sure 7 times at least it says eat matzah for 7 days. And the rabbi is only sure only the first night. The Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Chav talks about it. A very short sugya, really confusing, super confusing. And we're going to try and make sense out of everything very soon. Okay, so let's begin with chapter 12. Okay. My point in chapter 12, Parshat HaChodesh, is given on 2 weeks before we leave Egypt. And the ritual commandment, after telling to set this be the month of the spring to the leadership, okay, there's 2 basic commandments. One is eat matzah with the Zevach Pesach, with the Pesach dinner. Okay, and another mitzvah to eat matzah for 7 days every year in the spring. Got it? That's Parshat HaChodesh. And in theory, there can be 2 separate laws. Now, just 1 minute about, before I go any farther, I want to share a little for the Seder also. When people sit down to a meal before there were cell phones, used to be a custom when people sit down to a meal together, they talk to each other. It happens sometimes. Because what else are you going to do? You need to rest between the different courses. You can talk about the food, talk about the Israeli government. You can talk about, you know, wanting to have a state of Israel so you can fight with each other over how to run the state that you hope that you've been praying for. You can do, there's a lot of things you can talk about, but if the meal has special cuisine, if you're not eating the regular, you know, toast and scrambled eggs in the morning, but all of a sudden you have like lox and bagels or something, it must be a simcha or something, there must be something special. If the food is special, if you sit down to meal, you're eating turkey and apple pie, you're an American, Canadians don't know what I'm talking about, but that means I want to remember something. I need to remember, I have to thank the pilgrims for getting rid of the Indians so we could have our own country and talk about freedom. and tell other countries not to do terrible things. Now, how did I get off track? Oh, sorry. Yeah. What I'm getting at is that when I look carefully at the laws of Zebach Pesach in Parshat HaChodesh, it's a sit-down meal. You come to a meal, everything prepared. Invitation only to make sure that there's food for everybody. With a large group, because we need enough people to eat a whole lamb. We have bread with it, and we have salad with it. Lots of more. First and foremost, it's a sit-down meal, which is going to spark a conversation. Now, the special things we're eating are going to remind us of the fact we're leaving Egypt, because I take anti-Egyptian bread. And I'm assuming you're aware of this, but check Wikipedia. Egypt was known in the ancient world for fermentation. They invented beer. Every college student should have at least one day a year that they thank the Egyptians. It helps them get through college. And fermentation. There was a minister. I told you there was a minister in the Egyptian government in charge of baking, wasn't there? Who has
mm-hmm.
too much? Sefer Breshit. Remember the Sarah Ophin. One thing, Egypt is home for its bread. Our ancestors, whenever there's a famine in Canaan, you go to Egypt because Egypt has the Nile River. You have more than one grain crop a year. It's a breadbasket of the Middle East. They don't have wineries because it's not really hill country for growing wine, but they definitely have. So we have special meal. And Ben is not, I see his little chat said, we sit down to meals at all the holidays and Enoch Inami. When we sit down to Yom Tov, we're supposed to talk about why I'm sitting in a sukkah. To remember not to get haughty. So I shouldn't say kochi b'yotzei miyodi. When I sit down to meal in Shavuot, every holiday has a theme that is an important theme in Judaism every day of the year, but I spend one time of the year and make a big deal about it. And we should talk about the holidays when we sit down to eat. Pesach, we do even more so because it's the beginning of our history. It's a mega theme. But you're supposed to talk on the holidays. That's when we meet to remind ourselves what we're about as a people. And if you don't sit down to a meal together and have a conversation, it's not going to work. But when people sit down to go out to eat, people don't, like, if you have something to talk about, let's go for a coffee. You follow? You don't need, you had 3 cups of coffee in the morning already. When you say, let's go for coffee, or let's go to, that means you want to talk about something. But people talk over food. And if something's special, you have a special meal. But people talk, again, this is all before cell phones. People talk to each other. And when people talk to each other, that's when ideas develop. That's good ideas or bad ideas, planning or not planning. But that's the nature of life. Now, why we're eating in a rush, that's a different question. But we, according to Moshe Rabbeinu and God, we had all night to eat it. Okay. So therefore, when God tells us with the Pesach to eat it with matzah, it's not to remember that we were rushed out of Egypt. We're eating with matzah first and foremost because I have meat and bread and a sandwich and salad. It has to be a good meal. That's Hillel. That's Korah. That's a shawarma, basically. Korban Pesach was the first shawarma, according to Hillel. Remember? You put the, because ancient pita was like a lafa. It wasn't cardboard like we have today. And you put it with salad, maybe bitter salad, but like lettuce, some type of lettuce, and with meat, and it's a good sandwich. But it wasn't that often in Egypt you would sit down and actually eat a lamb. You couldn't afford such a thing. And a lamb, and if you would check the lamb in Egypt, they'd stone you. So you're doing something daring against Egypt. You're doing something anti-Egyptian, anti-Egyptian bread, remembering your slavery. And we do something very similar. If you remember the first, let me share my screen and open up. Is it here? Wait. Oh, here we go. I want to open up a quick little Haggadah for a second. I think we did this way back, but just a reminder about the Halach Ma'anya. I call Halach Ma'anya an icebreaker. I'll explain why. In camp, when you have new campers and you want to know everyone's names, you sit down together and you ask them in a circle and you ask everyone, what's your favorite ice cream, where you're from, things like that. That's called an icebreaker. At our Seder, we have an icebreaker. It's called Yachatz. But we break the matzah. And we use the matzah to start a conversation. Remember, Halach Ma'ani is Lechem Oni. Now, the rabbis say Oni is from Lashon answering. Vanita v'amarta. So it's conversation bread. Lechem shonim alav dvarim habay. That's one interpretation of Chazal, because that's what it means to have a conversation. We're starting a conversation. This is conversation bread, but it's poor man's bread because it's lechem oni. Oni reminds of our poverty, and it reminds us also of our oppression. It's lechem oni. So we're starting a conversation using poor man's bread to remember the meaning of our oppression. Understand how the Seder begins? And we're beginning our Seder, starting a conversation using poor man's bread. We're going to start a conversation about how we were oppressed in Egypt, because our ancestors ate this at the first Korban Pesach, Zevach Pesach in Egypt. And what did they say to one another? Right? They were, in Parshat HaChodesh, they were commanded to invite one another to make sure there's enough people to eat it. And they said, Kol dich v'nyete v'yichal, kol ditzricheta v'yifsach. We're not inviting anybody to our Seder because we don't bring Pesach nowadays. We just sit down to a meal. But back then, in Egypt, they had to invite one another. That was the first commandment they received. Make sure there's a big group of people to eat an entire lamb. Remember, Ish lefi achlo tochos asen, you go to your shachin. If you want the shechina to come, you have to build a shechuna. And then we're saying, here, we're making this gathering this year here in Egypt. Next year, hopefully in the land of Israel. This year in slavery, next year hopefully to be free. We're sitting down to a meal, starting a conversation about where we are and where we're going to, what we went through and where we're heading and what we're hoping for. And we're connecting our Seder to the very first Seder. But that's a beautiful introduction to start a conversation using matzah. And that's how we break the matzah. I think that's the simplest understanding of Halach Manya. Now, I'm just bringing that down to explain that the first and foremost, the reason why we're commanded to eat matzah with the Pesach has nothing to do with leaving Egypt in a rush. It has everything to do with leaving Egyptian culture. It's anti-Egyptian bread, because Egypt was known for fancy bread. It does have to taste bad. It can taste wonderful. It's just simple bread. It's called there's everything bagels, and then there's plain bagels. You follow? There's a simple way of eating. Now, so that was a one-time commandment. And then after God gives it, let's take a look at the commandment now on our source sheet. Real quick, I did the wrong thing. That was not good. I need to, okay. Close the chat. And next week, I'm going to be back home and have my regular computer and know how to use my mouse. Okay, now, here we go. That were better. I didn't have to change anything. I just move over. Here we go. So let's read. Achodesh zechem Rosh Chodeshim. Remember, Rosh Chodesh is for the Beit Din to take care of. Okay. Tell Bnei Israel on the 10th of the month, take a seh for every home. And if there aren't enough people in the house for a seh, they have to invite their neighbors and make sure there's enough food for everybody. And there's a big enough group. That's Kol Ditzrich Yetev Yivsach. And Kol Dichvin. Okay. You bring a seh tamim. It's got to be a good animal. From either a sheep or cat, sheep or lambs or goats, called sheep. Okay, keep it until the 14th. Take it on the 10th, leave it the 14th. We explained in the shir that the 3 days of kosher are in between, and we shecht it all together on the 14th in the morning. We sprinkle the blood on our doors, okay? So God knows that we care and that will save us. And how do we eat the meat that evening? The best way. Ask your children: do you want boiled hot dogs or roasted hot dogs or broiled hot dogs? On the grill. Of course, it's better on the grill. And you can eat it the best way possible. And you eat it together with matzah, with bread, with simple bread, and maror. It makes the meat tasty, but also reminds you of your oppression. Okay? Don't eat it uncooked. It means eat it properly. Eat it well done. It means this is a proper meal. That's nothing rushed. Okay? Only tzli'esh, only roasted. The whole thing, basically a really good cookout. No leftovers for good reason. Technically, we're leaving, but when you know that there's no leftovers, you know you eat to your heart's content. A poor person who doesn't have much has good meat. You save something for later. You put a little bit away. You're not going to eat everything that night. No leftovers. And when there's a meal with no leftovers, people eat. It's a happier meal. Now, and how do you eat it? Properly dressed. Don't come in your pajamas. Don't come with things. Have your shoes on. not because you're leaving in the middle of the meal. We'll see in a minute. We're told you stayed at home the whole day. I think this might represent a readiness to go, but it's not because we're leaving in the middle of the meal. The ritual commandment is to leave only in the morning, or it's basically not to leave your house that night. We're not told yet here that we're leaving Egypt that night. What are we told? That night, God's going to go through Egypt and smite every firstborn, and he's going to punish your oppressor. And if God sees the dam outside your house, he knows that what? He can pass over or protect them. Two ways of understanding Pesach. He can protect your house, and there won't be, your house won't be smitten by the plague. And that's it. It doesn't say here we're leaving Egypt that night. We gave a share on that. Moshe only finds out about that on the 14th in the morning. 2 weeks earlier, the only reason we're bringing Pesach is to save us from Makat Bechorot. And that's why if God only saved us from Makat Bechorot, and we didn't leave Egypt that night, I would still say thank you. Pretty sure that's the beginning of Dayenu. And we'll see that in the Psukim in a minute. If your kids ask you, why do we bring Pesach? We'll see in a minute. Okay. Now we have the transition, which starts the confusion. This day, what day? Rosh Chodesh? We talked about that in our Seder last year. Yochum Rosh Chodesh. Okay? But this day has to be a day to remember. To remember what? Unclear. But once a year, I need to celebrate this forever. Is this referring about Pesach for all generations or what's coming up? And I don't have an answer because it's really confusing. But it can go either way. And we'll see why there shouldn't be an answer because both of these what we'll see later on would be connected. But remember this day forever and celebrate it for all generations. What do we do? How do we celebrate? 7 days eat matzah. And even before you start, get rid of your chametz. Because if you eat chametz, right, you're cut off from the people of Israel. Now, if there is a commandment where the punishment or the consequence is being cut off from a covenant, there must be something really fundamental about chametz. Hope that's clear. There's got to be something. You know, if the main reason we're eating matzah is to remember God took us out of Egypt, then the mitzvah should be eating matzah. If you don't eat matzah, maybe chayv karet. But it seems like don't eat chametz to make sure you eat matzah. But here it seems the main commandment is not having chametz. It's more important not to eat chametz than to eat matzah. And there's no doubt that's how the rabbis understand it. If we know the rabbinic conclusion, halacha conclusion, that there isn't an obligation to eat matzah for 7 days. Only the first night for a different reason. But the main commandment that we go crazy about is not eating chametz, not just not eating chametz, not owning chametz, not seeing it, not being anywhere near chametz. Getting rid of your chametz seems to be way more important than eating matzah. And the question is going to be why? Let me just give a spoiler because I know we don't have too much time. What I want to claim is, I'm going to turn off my screen for a minute so I can see people. I want to make one basic claim. Hopefully we'll have time to prove it. The act of getting rid of your chametz is more symbolic than eating matzah. Meaning, the main reason God's taking out of Egypt, we're not just leaving Egypt physically, we're leaving Egypt spiritually. And we have to rid ourselves of Egyptian culture, which is the biggest problem of the first generation in the desert. We're immersed in Egyptian culture. What Chazal said is the 49 levels of Tumah, we'll see the Pesukim in Yecheskel that he talks about. And for a good reason, we've been living there for hundreds of years, and we weren't given the Torah till now. God wants to start a new culture. He's taking enslaved people and trying to retrain them with a new outlook on life. I need to reject a different type of culture. I need to reject Egyptian culture. And if chametz is a symbol of Egyptian culture, and it's a symbol of excess, and you name it, chametz represents it. You decide what's bad about what bad behavior is, and whatever that is, chametz are represented, basically. Ask your local chassid or ask your local rabbi. Chametz represents something bad. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with chametz. It's fine unless it's, unless gluten's bad for you. But there's nothing wrong with it, but it represents something. And we use physical objects and food to remember ideas. And therefore, getting rid of your chametz has to represent getting rid of your bad behavior. You see that in Olden Levin. You know, we'll see in Yirmiyahu, get rid of all your bad behavior. Hitivu dachem amalalechem, fix your ways and your plans and do proper tshuva. Getting rid of your chametz has to reflect an inner understanding that to be worthy of redemption, Am Yisrael needs to be ready to serve God. And you do that by a symbolic act of getting rid of what's evil. And you need ritual acts like that because they affect how you think and how you behave. And if I'm going to thank God for my past redemption and pray to God for future redemption, I need something to symbolize our need to be worthy of redemption. So with the first Pesach, it's by sprinkling the blood on the doors. But in the future, it goes with going crazy for a week, getting rid of all your chametz. Now, if someone wants to identify with the covenantal commitment to be God's people, but not willing to change their behavior and make their behavior worthy of being the people, that's the chiyuv karet. What I want to claim is not getting rid of your chametz is wanting all the privilege of Judaism without the responsibilities. We had a tish with yeshiva guys in Tzfat a couple of weeks ago. So we had a little panel and the guys asked questions. And one of the questions the guys asked was, what's our thought on Neo Chassidus? You know what Neo Chassidus is? It's like a new, like, I don't know I can't define it, but I just know when I see it. You know what I'm talking about, Jay? Neo Chassidus?
Yes. Yeah. Breslov and everything mixed in together.
Yeah. So I call it all the fun of Chassidus without any of the responsibilities. In other words, I want the spiritual high. I want all the ruchnius without the commitment to be a real Chassid. No, without the 24/7, no total dedication. So I'm not saying I'm right. I was just being, talking to high school, talking to 18, 19 year olds, trying to give them a little musr. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it shouldn't be that you're just looking for Judaism just for the spiritual highs without the commitment. That's all. And that's why getting rid of your chametz reflects commitment to introspect and fix your behavior in the spring. It's just like when you plow a field. If you don't plow the field properly and plant, you're going to grow weeds. That's Yirmiyahu. Remember? He says, plow in chapter 4. He says, plow deep in your field before you plant. Otherwise, you'll get a lot of weeds. The beginning of chapter 4 in your mail, if you want to look at it later on. Maybe we'll take a look quickly. Now, back to my point. What I'm getting at is the mitzvah to eat, get rid of your chametz. It's not necessarily just to make sure you're eating matzah. It's to make sure that when I thank God for my redemption, I understand the purpose of my redemption and my need to be committed to be worthy of redemption. And that becomes the symbol of chametz. What's my proof? Halachically, all the laws of idol worship, of Avodah Zarah, apply to chametz, don't they? You can't own it. You can't have hana. You can't have benefit from it. You have to get rid of it. You have to burn it. You can't see it. It can't be in your home. But chametz represents the wrong attitude in the service, like a wrong way of life, which is equivalent to idol worship. Now let's get to work on our, sorry for getting carried away there, but that's going to be half the answer to why chametz comes up earlier. So let's go back now to our source sheet and our dilemma. This day remembered forever. So is the yearly memory the Pesach or the yearly memory not having chametz? But eat matzah for 7 days, and the main thing, no chametz. Okay. And on the first day, you have a gathering. On the seventh day, you have a gathering. That's Yom Tov. But you're allowed to cook. Now, Pasuk Yud Zayin is an anchor. Ushmartem et ha-matzot means be careful to watch the matzah, to keep the laws properly, make sure it doesn't become chametz, whatever the laws are, watch the matzah carefully. And if you know your agriculture, the grain you're making matzah with was harvested 10 months earlier. So shmura matzah is not a chumra, it's pshat. The matzah you're baking in the spring is grain that was harvested in June the year before. And to make sure that grain doesn't get wet, you have to watch that grain carefully. Now, but also keep the law carefully, because on this very day, Hotzeiti etzibotechem eretz Mitzrayim. That's past tense, isn't it? In simple Hebrew. It might be prophetic, it might be poetic, or maybe God knows the future. But God's giving this commandment to Moshe now, telling him, keep the matzah, because I took you out of Egypt on this day. So either God's telling this to Moshe because he knows the future, or it could be that this entire commandment was given to Moshe later, But I want to claim is possibly this entire section from Pasuk Tedvav and possibly even from Pasuk Yedalit, this entire section was only told to Moshe after we leave Egypt. But for some reason, Chumash is recording it in Parshat HaChodesh. Because what are we told? Eat matzah for 7 days. You can't have sore in your house because anyone who eats machmetzah, again, karek the second time we mention it, okay? Whether you're ger or an Israq in the land, kol machmetzah lo tochelu. But this is a commandment for the land of Israel, not for the desert. This was not a commandment for the first Pesach. Got it? This is crystal clear. Okay? In other words, this commandment, as we'll see in a minute, we'll see when Moshe gives it, this is not a commandment for the people in Egypt. When we leave Egypt, there's no commandment to eat matzah for 7 days. We eat matzah because there's nothing else to eat. But this commandment is only for future generations starting the next year. So either we have to question, why is God telling Moshe this promo before it happens? Or maybe God only told Moshe this later. We'll see. But then the question is, why is Chumash inserting it here, even though it was given later? And we go back to our problem of Mukdam al-Mukhar. But the way it's written, it sounds like this commandment was given after we left Egypt, because God tells Moshe, keep these matzot, because on this day I took you out of Egypt. Okay, so keep that all in mind. Then what happens? Moshe calls, after this commandment, Moshe calls all the elders of Israel together and says, bring the Pesach. He tells them how to sprinkle the blood. He tells them why they need it, because God's going to come and smite the Egyptians that night. And that blood's going to save you. Okay? He gives more specific instructions how to bring the Pesach. And in addition to telling them about Pesach Mitzrayim, he gives them a spoiler about Pesach Doro. What's he say? Ushmartem et ha-davar hazeh l'chok l'chal v'nech ad olam. Keep this forever. And that's why it seems like Pasuk Yedalet is referring to this. Because if Yedalet is the conclusion of Pesach Mitzrayim, this day that you left Egypt will be forever and celebrated for all generations through Chukat Olam. The most logical explanation is that it's referring to Pesach Dorot, as Moshe explains to them now. Okay? Moshe says, keep this thing. When you come to the land of Israel, keep this Avodah, which is Pesach. I'll prove it. Why? What is this? And this is, it's a good question. It's not the Tam. It's a normal question. What's the reason for Korban Pesach? For Zebach Pesach? The reason for Pesach is not because we left Egypt. The reason for Pesach is because God, Pesach, God protected us or passed over us and saved us from Akat Bekorot. Understand? Even if we didn't leave Egypt that night in a rush or didn't leave Egypt at all that night, if we left Egypt a day or two later, we would still have Pesach on the night of the 14th going into the 15th. It would be a one-day holiday. Remember, because Pesach Sheni is also a one-day holiday. We're thanking God for Makat Bechorot. And that's all. It just so happens that there's another mitzvah of eating matzah that overlaps with it. But when you eat, when you have the Pesach, Pesach has to be with matzah and maror, irregardless of the Easter of Chametz that we have with the next commandment of eating matzah for 7 days and Easter Chametz. Got that? But again, Moshe only tells the people about Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Dorot. He doesn't say anything about Chag HaMatzot. For good reason, because it doesn't make any sense to say about eating matzah for 7 days because we weren't rushed out of Egypt yet. Now, again, and this entire section is all like that. They go do the Pesach, remember, on the 14th, on the 10th, on the 14th, it's God commanded. Now that Am Yisrael is ready, we have the story of the Exodus. Vayibachatz Hashem Mikav Kol Becheretz Mitzrayim. I'm going to switch now to the other Chumash real fast. I want to just review the story real fast. I'm going to do it with the Hebrew Chumash because it covers more ground. Go back to Perek Yud Bet. I want to show you the Parshiot till we get to the next one. Vayibachatzi alayla. We have the story of the Exodus, don't we? Make it a little bit bigger. And what happened that night? Okay, Paro tells Moshe, go serve your God, you and everybody. Take your cattle with you. Listen carefully. But techezak mitzayim ala am lemehel l'shalcha min ha'aretz kemru kulenu mitim. We leave Egypt, not because we have permission. We're forced out of Egypt by the Egyptians who were convinced that we have to serve our God, otherwise we're all going to die. And we're in a rush because we're commanded, because Egypt doesn't let us bake our matzah, bake our bread. We had dough planning to make bread that morning, but we couldn't bake that dough because we were rushed out by the Egyptians. And we had to put it in make knapsacks out of our clothing. And then because they were rushing us out, Am Yisrael did as God told Moshe to tell them, we borrowed anything we asked for, and they were so eager for us to go and serve our God, they lent us gold and silver and anything we asked for. And Hashem gave the Chena Aman the Mitzrayim, and we borrowed, and we took advantage, as we see later on, because we get to keep it once they declare war against us. Now, we traveled from Seis to Sukkot, that's day one. Erev Rav is following us, and now the famous Pasuk Lamed-Tet that we recited our Seder. The morning after we leave Egypt, we bake the batzeik, we bake the dough that we took out of Egypt. We bake it like matzah because we don't have our ovens. And it didn't rise because we were carrying it the whole time. Ki goshu min Mitzrayim, because we were expelled from Egypt. And we couldn't linger. Lo yichud l'tmameh, and we had no other supplies. Everything was in a big rush. Now, the fact that everyone is traveling with dough with them, and we have to bake it makeshift the next morning in the desert, the experience of leaving Egypt, eating this quickly made matzah in not normal way, typified the whole experience of leaving Egypt. Then we have a summary that we were 430 years in Egypt, and after these 30 and 400 years, it reminds us of Brit Ben Abtarim. God took us out of Egypt, and this is the day we leave for all generations. Lev Shimurim. For some reason, we get Chukot HaPesach. Now we have more laws about Pesach, about the need for Brit Milah. We'll skip that now. That's not our topic now. We talked about that in a different share, about Gerut. But this is a section that belonged earlier. There was this entire section about, in order to bring Pesach, you have to do Milah, and how to eat it in the same house and not to break bones. It applies to all generations, but it also applies to the first generation. And it says that when we're finished, Vayasu, this whole section, Mem Gimel to Nun, belongs in Parshat HaChodesh earlier. But what I want to claim is, we'll see, is that this section belongs earlier in Parshat HaChodesh, where verses 15 to 20 are, and verses 15 to 20 belong here. We sort of do a switch. If I take chapter 12, verse 15 to 20 would make more sense if they were given after we leave Egypt. And verses 43 to 50 make more sense if they were given before we leave Egypt. So if you want to put Chumash back in order, I need to switch these two sections. I need to take this section of Chukat HaPesach, which is about Brit Milah, as a prerequisite for Pesach, belongs earlier chronologically. And the commandment to eat matzah chronologically belongs after we leave Egypt, belongs here. Hope you followed that. Again, I didn't explain why, but that seems to be what happened. Now, on this day, we leave Egypt. And now in chapter 13, now I'll just go now to an English Hebrew Chumash. Let's read now chapter 13. We're out of Egypt. It's the morning after. We had matzah for breakfast. That's all we have. Nothing else to eat. It's the morning after we leave Egypt. And God tells Moshe, saying, Kadesh li kol b'chor. And let me move to an English Hebrew Tanakh to make life easier. Okay, chapter 13. Turn this off. And,
well,
chapter 13. Okay. Let's pay careful attention. I'll make it nice and big. Okay. Gatas Moshe. Kadishi Kobchor. Set aside for me every firstborn, from humans or animals. Right? They belong to God, not to eat them, but to serve God. They come to the service of God. So that's what's called Kedushah Bechor. Later, we're going to transfer that Kedushah to the Levi, to the tribe of Levi. What should Moshe do now? He should tell the people about Kedushah Bechor. But instead, Moshe tells the people about Chag HaMatzot. Now, listen to the commandment that Moshe is giving the people now, after we leave Egypt. It's exactly the commandment that God told him in Parshat HaChodesh before we left Egypt. But listen carefully how Moshe words himself. V'yomer Moshe la'am. We just left Egypt. The morning after. Zechor et hayom hazeh. Asher yatzatem mitzrayim mibeit avadim. Remember this day. What day? The 14th or the 15th?
14.
Okay. It could be the 14. It could be the 15. I mean, he's talking on the 15th. That's for sure. Right? Remember this day you left Egypt, because God took you out of Egypt, b'chosek yad, and don't eat chametz. Now, that sounds like two commandments, right? Remember this day and don't eat chametz. Now, are these commandments once a year or every day of your life? I should hope they're once a year. You understand why? Otherwise, we can never eat chametz. Actually, we only have one kitchen instead of two kitchens. But the prohibition of eating chametz is only once a year. Now, the commandment to remember the Exodus is every day of your life. So I want to show you that the first commandment, for sure, thematically, is every day of your life, as we'll see. But to make sure we keep this commandment of daily memory every day of your life, we don't eat chametz once a year. Now, I shouldn't say don't eat chametz, I should say eat matzah. But for some reason, the way we remember the day we left Egypt is not by eating matzah, it's by not eating chametz. It sounds like almost a mistake, but it's the whole point. Because the main thing we need to remember, if I'm celebrating my freedom from Egypt, I need to remember why it happened. And I need to remember to be deserving of that freedom, I have to get rid of my bad behavior. And if chametz represents bad behavior, idol worship, yetzahara, you name it. Right? If chametz is a symbol of how we have to prepare ourselves for redemption, have to get rid of our bad ways, then basically Pesach turns into another Elul's month. If I look the calendar parallel, just like I have to get ready for Rosh Hashanah and do tshuva, I have to get ready for Pesach and do tshuva. And if the main message, if the purpose of Gula, if the purpose of Pesach is simply saying thank you, so I eat matzah to remember that God saved me. Thank you. If the purpose of Pesach is remembering why it happened, and the two-sided nature of the covenant between God and his people and the reason why God took us out, then makes more sense that the way I celebrate Pesach is by making myself ready for redemption. And if chametz reminds me of that, then we're right on the mark. I'm trying to explain this pasuk, which otherwise seems really difficult. Remember this day. How do you remember? By not having chametz. And now you begin to understand why the rabbis say the main mitzvah is no chametz and not so much eating matzah. Now, if I can't eat chametz, what else am I going to eat? I eat matzah for 7 days. But the main commandment is not having chametz. And that's why the chiyuv karet is on not eating chametz. Because if getting rid of chametz represents spiritual readiness, that's a spiritual readiness, but social readiness, you know, getting rid of your bad social behavior, being kind to other people and not being mean to other people. If that's what it represents, then I can't thank God for my freedom and my ability to be a free nation if I don't understand the responsibility of how I need to behave as God's nation. And therefore, getting rid of your chametz is way more important than eating matzah. Then he says, you're leaving now in the spring. And just like nature renews itself every year in the spring, we as a people have to renew ourselves every year in the spring and give our booster shot to this theme of the purpose of freedom. Okay. So therefore, when God brings you to the land of Israel, which hopefully should be next year, okay, which he promised your forefathers, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, you do this avodah in this month. What avodah? Some parshim will say Korban Pesach. Some people say eating matzah. You go either way. But in this month, you do this avodah. What do? Eat matzah for 7 days. On the seventh day, have a chag. Matzot can be eaten during these 7 days, but you can't see or own any chametz. Now, this is the commandment that God taught Moshe in Parshat Nachodesh. But this mitzvah makes a lot of sense now after we leave Egypt because we were just rushed out. Now, anyone eating matzah for 7 days who experienced the Exodus, when he eats matzah the next year, he remembers the experience. I'll give you an example. I'll think like 20, 30 years ahead. Let's hope Corona doesn't come back and we don't need masks for next 20, 30 years. So 10 years from now, you'll see a mask, right? A Corona mask, and you'll remember the pandemic, correct? Let's say you're cleaning up for, okay, 10 years from now, you're cleaning up from Pesach and you see a drawer full of like masks. You forgot to throw out, put away whatever they were, right? What it'll remind you of? You'll remember Corona. You'll remember the Pesach or the first Corona kind of thing, when we're all alone, etc. It'll bring back memories. 30, 40 years from now, when your children are cleaning up for Pesach, who didn't live through Corona and they see the mask cleaning up, they'll guess, what is this? Was this from Purim? What's this from? You follow? It won't mean, unless what? Unless you tell them the story of what happened. And therefore, what's Chumash tell you? In the spring, when you eat matzah for 7 days, you know what happened, but your children might not know. And therefore, what do you have to do? Tell your children on that day. On what day? Well, you talk about it at your Seder. On the 14th, on the 15th, in the morning, in the night. But the conclusion is, on the same day, actually at night, when you start eating matzah, tell your children, for the sake of this matzah, God did for me all these things coming out of Egypt. And without going into, maybe we'll see the details in a minute, the question is going to be, what do we tell our children? Why we left Egypt, or why I'm eating matzah? If it's about gratitude, then the commandment is, explain to your children, I'm eating matzah to remember that God took me out of Egypt, because matzah is what we ate, and it's a symbol of our gratitude to God. Ebenezer and Rashi claim, no, we don't explain to our children why I'm eating matzah. I explain to my children why God took me out of Egypt. And God took me out of Egypt to keep his mitzvot like eating matzah. That's about purpose. That's not just expression of gratitude. That's recognition of destiny. Now, the pasuk is purposely ambiguous because it's really both. Right? I need to explain to my children the matzah reminds me of the Exodus experience. Say thank you. But the matzah also reminds me of why God took me out of Egypt to keep his mitzvot and to become his people, which includes getting rid of your bad behavior, which is symbolized by not having chametz, and keeping mitzvot, which is symbolized by matzah. And that's going to be, and therefore, this will be a reminder for you. A note on your arms, right? With whether this is tefillin or not, that's a whole different concept, but it seems to relate to matzah because these laws will be in your mouth. That's something you eat, okay? But it's a reminder that God took you out of Egypt with an outstretched hand. And keep this chukah, and it's right time, yamim yamima. This pasuk again goes back, see this line? Keep this statute, this chukah, every year it's right time. That also takes me back to that difficult pasuk we had before in Perek Yud Bet. Where is it? Remember that this day is a day to remember. Chukat Olam, forever. Is it referring to eating matzah or is it referring to Korban Pesach? I think it's both. Now, okay, let's go back to my source sheet now, and I hope I made sense out of the psukim that we read. Now, there's a very important Rambam. Let me go back 1 second to what we just saw. When you open up the Rambam, I should have it on a source sheet, but you'll take my word for it for now. There's an important Rambam in Hilchot Chametz Matzah, I think Perek Vav, Perek Dalet, which says it's a mitzvah to stay to eat matzah on the 15th of Nisan every year. Now, everyone always thinks that our commandment is based on Bikat Levincha. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says, how do we know it's a mitzvah to say keep matzah every year? He starts here from Pasuk Gimel. Zechor et hayom hazeh asher yatzatem mitzrayim beit avadim ki b'chotzek yad atzeichem b'lo yichal chametz. He said, this is the commandment, the mitzvah to say of the Seder, of Haggadah, and not Tikmat, I'm sorry. The mitzvah to tell the story of the Exodus is based on Pasuk Gimel because of the word Zachor. Zachor is always a commandment, the Dorot. And he says it beautifully. Why? Because the commandment is both a once a year commandment and a daily commandment. The main commandment is the daily memory because that shapes your behavior. But once a year, I go crazy. And therefore, he says, the way we remember every day of our life, the meaning of why God took us out of Egypt and how that has to affect our behavior, we do it once a year, but not in chametz. And therefore, in the spring, every year in the spring, at this time of year, you eat matzah for 7 days. You can't have any chametz. And then when you start eating matzah and get rid of your chametz, explain to your children why God took you out of Egypt. God took us out of Egypt in order that we keep his mitzvot, like eating matzah and more, etc. That's how the Rambam, read the Rambam if you want later on. It's a masterpiece. Now we have to finish up. Yeah, oh my gosh, we're late because we have to finish in time for Rabbi Mon, right? But I think I got the main part.
Rabbi Mon's at 12:30, so we have a few minutes.
Okay. Now we have to give people a break. Rabbi Mon's my neighbor.
Yeah.
We're far away, but usually he's my neighbor. Okay. I think he's in Israel now. Yeah, he should be home. Where are we? Our source sheet. Here we are. Okay, so let's review what we did. In Perek Yud Gimel, I just have a review now of what we read with English Hebrew. Okay? God tells Moshe, remember this day you left Egypt and don't eat chametz. It sounds like two mitzvot, it's really one. Remember this every day of your life by not eating chametz once a year. When you come to the land of Israel, do this in the spring. And my mouse is messed up again. Okay. You're leaving now in the spring. When you come, do this avodah, eat matzah for 7 days, no chametz. And tell your children on that day, for the sake of this matzah, God did for me all these miracles. So I brought in the source sheet, how to understand Balfour Zeh. Is Balfour Zeh to explain to our children why God took me out of Egypt or why I'm eating matzah? So Rashi says, Balfour Zeh, Balfour Shakei Mitzvotav, like eating Pesach Matzah Mara. Rashi says, I explained to my children why God took me out of Egypt in order that I can keep his commandments. Which sounds like far-fetched, but it's really pshat in the Pasuk. Because Ebenezer agrees. No, Ebenezer quotes Rav Marinas, that's Ibn Janah, who quotes who Ramban actually supports in this on this Pasuk. Bavur Zeh, Rav Marinas says, Bavur Zeh should really be opposite. It should be Zeh Ba'avur. Just switch the words around. Zeh Ba'avur Sashasham Li. He says that the Pasuk really means, explain to your children, this matzah is in order to remember that God did for me miracles. I'm eating matzah to say thank you for the miracles. Remember, and Rashi says, I'm eating matzah to remember why God took me out of Egypt, not that he took me out of Egypt. And he brought a lot of examples, and then he says, there's not one example that Rav Marinas brings that sometimes we switch words around, but not true. He says, Ki ech napoch edibradim klein. How can we switch around the words of God? Okay? The reason the pasuk is exactly the opposite. I'm not eating matzah to remember that God took me out of Egypt. I'm eating matzah to remember why God took me out of Egypt. In order that I'm able to keep his mitzvot, like eating matzah and not giving him chametz, shut chilat mitzvot. This is the beginning of all of our commandments that God commanded us. That's why God took us out of Egypt, for a purpose. The goal is not freedom from, but freedom for. To be a nation in the service of God, to keep his mitzvot. And that's the main educational message for our children. And he brings the raya from what we say every day in Shema. I took you out of reason for a purpose. That's Brit Milah. That's Brit Sinai as well. So the main message of the Exodus is that there's a purpose in the Exodus. And there's a massive difference between our holiday being Thanksgiving. Oh, I got stuck. Thank you, God. As opposed to God's involved in my history and sometimes gives us difficult situations so we learn from them. But the goal of my history and the goal of my relationship is our dedication tacked in a way that sanctifies God with our behavior. And that's a much more adult message, but these parshanim say it's critical. And that's why there's so much emphasis on eating, on getting rid of your chametz in preparation more than eating matzah. I think that explains why the rabbis say the main commandment is getting rid of your chametz. Now, why did I bring the example? No one keeps eating. You have to work 6 days a week. How come the Torah says work 6 days a week? The main goal is keeping Shabbat, right? Shesh damim tavod v'yom ha'shvi'i tishbot. The reason, the main commandment is not working on Shabbat. And therefore, I can work 6 days a week. Not I have to. But I must refrain from work on Shabbat. The same thing. I can eat matzah for 7 days, but I can't have chametz at all. That's how the rabbis understand the mitzvah of matzah. No. Oh, I mentioned the Mishnah before. No, I wanted the Rambam. The Rambam's not here. Now, I want to bring one more proof about Bavur. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Tvarim, should your child ask you, why do we have to keep all the laws? Remember the famous lines we in Haggadah, we turned this into the Chacham, and he's asking what? But in Chumash, the son is asking, why do we have to keep all the mitzvot? This is how we answer our children. Tell your children that we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God took us out of Egypt and did all these miracles for us. He took us out of Egypt and brought us to Israel. Laman, to bring us to Israel in order to do what? To keep the commandments, okay? The fear of God, and it's good for us. With stakati, it's the right thing, the proper thing, that we keep all these mitzvot, okay, as God's commanded us. So what do we tell our children, according to Moshe Rabbeinu and Sefer Dvarim? explain to your children that the reason why God took you out of Egypt and gave you the land of Israel was in order to keep his mitzvot. Understand? So Moshe Rabbeinu is holding, just like Rashi and Ibn Ezra, that the main educational message of the Seder and Pesach is not what happened, but why it happened. And that makes sense why chametz represents bad behavior. And that's why getting rid of your chametz is more important than eating matzah. And that's why the chiyuv karet is on matzah. And that goes back to Brit Ben Tung. We talked about many times that when God first picked Avraham Avinu, this is part of God's original plan to go through the suffering to become a nation. Before you become a nation, you have to understand, you have to be sensitized by going through that time period of suffering. Now, what's so bad about Egyptian culture? We have 2 minutes for this. In Yecheskel, actually in Vayikra, what are we told? In chapter 18 with all the arayot, etc. Katos Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani Hashem Elokechem, that's the Ten Commandments. Don't act like the Egyptians, okay? Like the way the Egyptians act, their culture, don't do. And don't act like the culture of the nations in Canaan. Not because they're, because of how they behave. Okay. Then we have some of all the arayot, incest and all the terrible things they did. And then it says, don't defile yourself like they did. The nations that Egyptians, right, punish who oppressed you, and the Canaanites, I'm allowing you to take over the land. I'm throwing them out and punish them for the bad behavior. You saw they behave, don't you dare act that way. And then the fact that we needed our big, we had to get rid of Egyptian culture. We see from Yecheskel, where he told them, the people, after the first wave of exile, it's before the temple is destroyed, but they're already the first wave of exile in with Yecheskel in Babel. They want to come back. They tell Yecheskel, go pray for us for redemption. They tell Yecheskel, they're Doresh Hashem, we want to come back home. And God tells Yecheskel, are they asking what God can do for them? God swears, I'll tell them what they can do for me. He says, don't give them good news. Be judgmental of them. Tell them how bad they were. Explain to them why they're not deserving yet of redemption. Okay? Tell them how bad they are. We don't want a free trial of Acrobat, do we? Okay. Tell them what? Tell them, Kol Mar Hashem, this is Yecheskel chapter 20. Way back when I chose Israel, I lift up my hand, I wanted them to take out of Egypt the ideal way. And I told them, before we left Egypt, I want to bring you to the land, I want you worthy. And I told them as follows, V'amar lehem, Ish shikutzine inav hashlichu, v'gilim yitzahat titamal, ani Hashem lachichem. Get rid of your bad ways. Dump the Egyptian culture. Dump your bad way of life, because I'm your new boss. V'amrubi, back in Egypt, they rebelled against me. They didn't obey me. He said, they didn't get rid of the bad ways in their idol worship. They didn't leave their Egyptian ways. I wanted to destroy them in Egypt because they weren't ready. But I did it for the sake of my name. I took them out of Egypt and gave them another chance. That explains beautifully why I needed a symbolic act of Zevach Pesach to show God we're worthy of redemption. So we weren't ready before the Makot started. Remember, they have a good excuse. But after 9 plagues, now we have a chance to show our readiness by having the Zevach Pesach. So the family meal, following God's instructions, having an anti-Egyptian meal, having a conversation about why we're leaving Egypt and where we're going to. That's why I need all the symbolism of the Seder. But again, my key point is the symbolism of the Seder is not only Thanksgiving, remembering what happened and saying thank you, but understanding we have to be worthy of God's redemption and acting thank you. And therefore, this chametz becomes a symbol of getting rid of bad behavior. And therefore, the main mitzvah is getting rid of your chametz. And that's how we thank God for redemption. And that's why eating chametz is more important than eating matzah. That's why the rabbis understand only once a year, only the first night you have to eat matzah. Is that the matzah of the Pesach or matzah of the first night of Chag HaMatzot? That's a great sugya in Pesachim Kuf Chaf. It's really complicated because we quote a pasuk Be'er Tochlu Matzot, but the whole sugya begins, you know, the matzah b'zman hazeh is chayav, but morar is not. But there's a three-way machloket. Both, it's really complicated. But the question is, the matzah that we're chayav to eat at night, are we eating it because eating matzah comes with, is it the matzah comes with the Pesach? If there's no Pesach, there's no matzah mara d'oraita? Or is there mitzvah d'oraita of eating matzah at night, even if we don't have korban Pesach? That's a sugya in Pesachim daf kuf chav. That's a shir in, we had time, for Rabbi Mom wasn't teaching now. I'd go into it, but that's a class in Talmud. Rabbi Jacob did it one time. It's a great sugya. Really confusing. Because there's so many different opinions. It's not clear. Is the main commandment, amatotum ram yachulua that night? But I need the pasuk later on, the erev tuchlu matzot, to support it. Or is the main commandment the first night of this eating matzah for 7 days and built on bayomahu and vigarata? And it has nothing to do with the matzah of Korban Pesach. But that's it's like fun and complicated. Question is, do we lean or not? I guess we lean when we eat the matzah. That's true. Okay, Rabbi, real quick.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah. I think we'll take, Reverend Moyne is speaking at 12:30, as I think, as everyone knows, of Kumina Berbi Vrit. Those who understand Hebrew, I assume it's many of us.
Very easy to follow, Reverend Moyne.
Correct. I was going to say that. He speaks a very clear, beautiful Hebrew. He's, of course, the Rav of Alon Shvut, is really, really one of the leading Rabbanim, in our world, in any world. And, so he's extremely busy. I just got off the phone with him a few minutes ago, and he's extremely busy, and, we're greatly appreciative that he's giving his time to give a shiur for us, Bivrit. So I encourage everybody, you can take a 6.5 minute break, and then we'll reconvene. You don't have to go anywhere. We'll keep the Zoom link on, Zoom station, and we'll reconvene in 6 minutes.
Carol had a quick question. Carol?
Yeah, you didn't go back to why it was out of order, if it's out of order. And I think...
So I'll do that real quick. Okay, real quick. What I want to claim is, even if it's out of order, the question is always why. Now, Pesach is... Clearly, Pesach is saving you from getting out of Egypt. Okay? To make sure that I relate Pesach to the Isur of Chametz, got it? Let's say it's out of order. I want to make sure that when I bring Pesach every year, I want to remember that Pesach has to come with getting rid of your Chametz. Got it? And therefore, even though the commandment of getting rid of your Chametz is given later, together with the mitzvah of eating matzah, to remember how God left Egypt, to make sure that I connect eating the Korban Pesach that I'm having every year, that goes hand in hand with getting rid of your chametz, right? I juxtapose them. Because I want to explain that I'm eating matzah to remember I'm rejecting Egyptian culture. Now, a Pesach, I just have matzah. It doesn't say no chametz. It says just eat it with matzah. The Dorot, we get rid of our chametz. But I'm juxtaposing for thematic reasons. Now, my proof is this real quickly from Sefer Dvarim. Look, this works like a charm. In Sefer Dvarim, when we get the matzah Shmor Chodesh Aviv, Vasita Pesach LaHashem Elokecha, what are we told? Chapter 16 in Dvarim. Look how it works perfect. Keep the month of the spring and do Pesach. When you bring Pesach, Lo tochal alav chametz. Got it? Remember, lo tizbach alav chametz lam zichri. We have that in Parsha Mishpatim also. Pesach comes together with no chametz. You follow? Because if Pesach is thanking God for saving you, I have to remember why he saved you, and it's your side to get rid of your chametz, to change your ways, to be worthy. And therefore, don't eat chametz, and hence eat matzah for 7 days. Lechem only conversation bread. About our oppression. Using poor man's bread. Got it? And the purpose is so you remember that the purpose of that story every day of your life. Remember that memory shapes your behavior. I'm being kind and sensitive. And now I think it makes perfect sense now of how the rabbinic understanding of why the main commandment is not chametz more than eating matzah explains why the opening says, remember this day by not eating chametz. Because if the way you remember is remembering its purpose. And if God's giving you freedom, it requires your first and foremost, getting rid of your bad behavior and take upon yourself good behavior. And chametz is a powerful symbol of what we have to get rid of. And the rest of how you apply that in halacha, that's all I ask your local rabbi. I'm trying to understand why the rabbis are so sure that even though it says eat matzah for 7 days, the main mitzvah is getting rid of chametz, and that's why it's covenantal. And if you don't accept that, you can't be part of the covenant because the covenant requires responsibility. That's just privilege.